Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Hey, welcome, welcome everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And we have a return guest today, Sunshine Beeson. So I'm very excited to welcome you back, Sunshine. The last time you were here, you were talking a little bit more about iridology and some of the kind of primary work that you're doing. So I'm very excited to talk about the divine feminine today and the divine masculine. So welcome back.
Thanks, Caroline. Nice to be back here.
Yes. So for people who maybe aren't as familiar with your work, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the Pioneer Valley?
So my business now of over 38 years is in spiral iridology and alchemy hypnotherapy. And iridology is an innovative assessment tool, analyzes the iris of the eye for physical and emotional health. So I say that I specialize in helping people, helping my clients get to the root cause of struggles that are consistent, where they've been to many other practitioners, maybe conventional, they're not getting the answers. So I try to uncover the myths and old beliefs that keep my clients captive in anxiety and stress and help them recover their essence, bringing about freedom, peace, and exuberant health.
That is, yeah, and that's all through the diagnostic tool of looking at your iris in your eye.
Right. So it's like an intake. It's analyzing what are the core issues, where's the foundation, what is the ancestry, what are the relationship struggles going on, what's happening with your physical body. And so it's all mapped and linked into the colored part of your eye, the iris.
Yeah. And you, the last time you were on here, you read, maybe it was like after the show or something, you read my iris and it was so cool. Like you had this like crazy camera and you like got really up close and then you put my eyeball onto this huge monitor and it was the first time I've ever seen my eye that large, of course. But it was really, really interesting the kind of information that you can receive from, you know, you were like, oh, your lymph nodes are all clogged. And then that kicked off a huge series of deep healing for me at the time over the winter when I was kind of going through a lot of emotional stuff. So it was really powerful to kind of see all of that.
So. Right. I mean, that's what you're looking at when we're seeing the iris viewed in such a big way. It's the blueprint of your identity, your soul, and it can go back beyond time since you were a fetus. And it is pretty remarkable what we can uncover in every physical aspect. Just about, I'd say 95% of every physical struggle, there's, as you know this, emotional relationship or link.
100%. I deeply believe that as, you know, somebody, I know your business has been in practice for 38 years. I've been at it for 10, but I deeply believe that like all of our physical stuff starts as emotional, as spiritual. Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
When you talk about the iris being the blueprint of your soul, what does that mean? Like,
that means that the blueprint, the foundational core being of who you are, is unique to you. There's no two irises alike, like your fingerprint. So I've done several, of course, my own grandkids, the twins, I've done their eyes and many other sets of twins because that fascinates me. And the irises, the eyes are completely different. The structure, the color might be the same, but you're going to have different signs and different links and different situations that are going to go on there. Different personality. I can detect what the personality is going to be like in a child and what they're prone to, what they're going to have predispositions for.
Oh, wow. That must be fun to do little experiments on the twins.
Yeah, it is.
That's really cool. So you're offering a little bit more information today about the divine masculine and the divine feminine. Can you start us off a little bit with some of the additional work that you're doing around these archetypes that's kind of coming up in your world?
Yes. So when I speak directly about masculine feminine energy, I'm not talking about gender. It's not gender specific, because all humans, men, women, all come into the world with masculine energy, feminine energy. And our environment, our relationships mold and dictate what's going to show up more, where we start to move in dominance depending on our lifestyle and situations. And so I have a teaching, the masculine, feminine, the integration, the shadow and the divine. So we have those distinctions. So you have an understanding about where are you in life? Where are you in any single moment? Because that understanding that can affect your spousal relationship, your relationship with your children, relationship with family, relationship in your business. It all is pertinent and it all has an effect. So when we can have that awareness, there's a lot of ahas that happen and choices.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the shadow versus the divine of the masculine or the feminine, can you talk a little bit about what you understand the shadow of or the divine of? Can you clarify what those two pieces are?
Absolutely. So I'm going to talk right now for a moment about the shadow masculine, and I'm going to talk about just characteristics or attributes, because that's the easiest thing to do, because people can pinpoint more if this shows up for them. So
it's like the old Cosmo quizzes. It's like, you know, right? like check these boxes, you? Like A, B, or C. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So when we're now, again, not gender specific. So controlling, wanting to power over, control another, control a situation, excess control, manipulation. Those are shadow masculine. One of the things I see a lot in entrepreneurs, whether you're a man or a woman, when you are excess in your shadow masculine energy, you're going to be getting into competition. And again, that sort of powering a one-upsman, and whether it's not a collaboration, it's not a win-win situation. There's greed involved in that. Overdoing excessively, you know, so focused maybe on the business and running your life. It's everything outside of yourself is that you're doing to excess. So the key word here is excess. And that's a shadow masculine. Also judgment, the judgment, what I call the judgment part, you know, Joseph judgment, Judy judgment in our little parts archetype, you know, though when that comes up about self or others, that's a shadow attribute or a shadow trait.
So mm-hmm. When any of those kind of things talk about, when we're talking about the shadow, whether it's the control, the excess, the really like focused on overdoing it, those are considered the shadow masculine.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So the divine masculine, when we flip that, that would be about being organized. Being organized is a divine masculine trait. Taking action that has vision and goal, a goal orientation to it, vision and strategy. Those are more in the divine realm. Collaborating, being a collaborator, which I find is happening. I think there's a shift, especially in the health, the alternative health industry. I don't know if you've noticed this too, because you're involved in this. It feels like there's a more collaborative working together effort rather than the competition. I think years ago, you know, in the healer world, there was more isolation and competition. So I love seeing the collaborative efforts. Courage, having courage is a divine masculine. Now, also in relationships, whatever relationship you have in a love relationship, The divine masculine, actually, I want you to look at this like a strong oak tree that's so rooted and so grounded, and creating this sort of container where the divine feminine can flow into. So divine masculine holds the space. It holds the container. Maybe it's a person in leadership position that actually can hold that container for everything that's going on in the structure of a business. That would be a divine masculine trait. It could be in back to the relationship. It's holding the space for the feminine energy to be able to flourish, to play, to have pleasure. So I'm leaking out in some of the divine feminine traits here. But basically, you know, those are a few things about the distinctions, because they are very distinct.
Yeah.
So that you can recognize when you're in those feelings or ways or behaviors.
Yeah. And so when we're talking about the like shadow masculine versus the shadow versus the divine feminine, get my head screwed on here. So when we're talking about the shadow masculine versus the divine masculine, there seems to be a lot of these kind of energetically, the qualities of control and manipulation and greed and kind of overdoing it feel very like gripping.
Yes, constriction. Constriction, which therefore, as we know, can lead to the symptoms of anxiety and stress. And you know, it's like you're wound up in a tight, tight wad. There's no breathing. People that are in their shadow masculine, they're breathing it from up here. They're not really breathing much, and they're way in their head. So that also translates to left brain, a lot of left brain. And we have to have left brain for the logic. Okay, that's logic is a masculine trait, and so is money, by the way. But how we handle money, the energetics of money, is feminine.
So how is money masculine and feminine?
Money is masculine in the sense of the outer material substance of what it's being used for as a trade. Okay, so anything that has to do with money, or let's say a suit and tie, or corporation or business itself, a business is masculine. Now, how we apply, how we integrate into the business and how we use money, money is very esoteric. it's in the quantum domain, if you can use it that way, because money and your business want to have a relationship with you. So when we can get into let me give you some distinctions about the divine feminine right now. That's about receiving, right? Opening up to receive. Now, some people, it's very difficult to receive compliments, receive money, receive or open to love. Okay, we can call our beloved in, and then something happens. We put on the brakes because there's a fear of that intimacy. So trust is a divine feminine, nurturing, allowing, and the opposite of doing is being. So being and stillness, okay? So the creatress, the divine feminine, she creates the space. The divine masculine holds the space, holds that container. So you see how they interweave in. What's really a cool thing to do is to understand what these distinctions are within yourself. And then there's ways that you can actually, what I call, create a divine marriage inside of yourself, so that you can call forth your masculine energy, call forth your feminine energy, and get to know those parts of yourself. Of course, it's symbolic and metaphoric, but you know, the universe doesn't know the difference between that.
That's right. It's true. And you know what? It's like, whether you're talking about the universe or like your actual body, like it doesn't know the difference. If you're like thinking about something that happened 20 years ago, that is activating a trauma and a fear and a panic response, whether it's just in your mind when you're like recalling it, or if it's, you know, like happening in real life. So it's like your body responds to it. The world and the energies around us respond to it. So yeah, I think in the more scientific realm, you know, in psychology, they're more and more coming to that. I mean, we're already there. I feel like,
yeah,
like,
you know, the body mind connection, definitely the consciousness is so shifting about that, thankfully, yeah, that there's a connection, because we have a disconnect. You know, there's a disconnect, I believe, in our chakra system, which holds those energies in there. And even in sexuality, you know, we mostly come from, I'm going to say, the ones that are in their masculine energy, not gender specific. Again, if you're more in your, just take away the shadow and the divine, just being in masculine energy. If you're more in the masculine energy, generally, that's a lot of the outward, okay, action oriented, more left brain. And on the sexual level, operating from the first two chakras below. Okay, sometimes there's a disconnect from the heart. When you're coming from the feminine energy, whether you're male or female, you're coming from the upper chakras. Now, what we want to do, we've got to create this integration. It's like you're split.
Yeah.
You're fragmented. A lot of people are very fragmented. Ultimately, when we can understand these distinctions, and then we integrate it, we can operate more from a place of balance, polarity, and grace.
Awesome.
And it's such a much more peaceful place to live in.
Yeah. So I do want to kind of take a step back. And if you're just tuning in, we're chatting today with Sunshine Beeson, who is an iridologist by trade. But today we're talking about the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And so we went over the shadow masculine. We kind of these more controlling, manipulative, these kind of competitive like qualities versus the divine masculine, which is organized and like very goal oriented and collaborative with, you know, this sort of like grounded oak tree kind of style to it. And then we start talking about the divine feminine, which is all about kind of receiving, and whether it's like money and love, you know, trust, nurturing. It's that kind of allowing, just being energy and stillness. And so what is the shadow side of that divine feminine? What does the shadow feminine look like? Just so people can have these kind of organizations of like, oh, I'm a little bit of this, I'm a little bit of that, or this area in my life, this comes out here. And yeah, what does the shadow feminine look like?
Absolutely. So that's more about low self-esteem, low self-worth, not really understanding your own identity, or having, you know, growing up, having to be silenced, not having your word. So third chakra is about your autonomy, your identity, your worth. And so we're going to have some, you know, digestive issues going on there related to that. We've got jealousy. Jealousy is not, what do you think? Tell me about jealousy. What would be your term about that?
I don't know. Jealousy is not really a thing I get too into, but what do you, I don't know, like what can you reframe that question?
Sure. So if what jealousy, what I have an understanding about it or feel is, it's an envy. And so what is envy? That person has something that I don't think I have, or something that I don't think I can attain. And so what does that mean? That means that they don't understand that their worthiness, it comes back down to worthiness. Really, jealousy is connected to that. You know, victimization, being a victim, living in that old story, not feeling like they have any power to exit that. Blame, you know, not taking responsibility, blaming. And this could be, again, this is not gender specific. This is a shadow feminine trait. Over pleaser. So this is something that I see stems from childhood, growing up by parents that are consistently wanting that child to excel. You know, I want you to get good grades. I want you to be this in life. You know, they're announcing or pronouncing what their field of interest should be, coming from the parental guidelines and not asking the child or the kid, well, what do you want? What do you want to be? You know, what direction do you want to go in?
Yeah, I feel like that happens a lot in a lot of Asian cultures too. Like, like Indians, you know, South Asians, it's like you're a doctor, you're a lawyer. And if you're anything else, then there's a lot of pressure in that direction. I mean, not just those cultures. There's a lot of cultures that experience that. So or children from those directions.
Yes. So that creates, this big inner conflict, and it starts to affect our body. It starts to affect our physiology. So that over-pleaser thing is, I better perform. I have to do. It's all about the doing. I got to get it out there and do this. And so that's how they interpret their way of being accepted and loved. If I do to excess. So they overplease. They continue to have that overpleaser. And when we do that, when we're overpleasing in life, there's an emotion that comes in, and it's called resentment. And resentment can affect different parts of the body, right?
Absolutely.
Different organs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Sunshine, I want to kind of get back to this. You mentioned very briefly earlier that when we're talking about the frameworks of divine masculine and divine feminine, this is totally separate than gender and sexual identity. Can you talk a little bit about how these are different? Because, you know, right now we're in a time in our culture where we're coming out of these really rigid categories of gender. And, you know, there's like a dating app that I'm on, and it has like literally 16 or 19 different gender identities that you can choose from, and like the same for sexual identities. And so it's just, you know, we're getting more fluid. Not all parts of the country or world are there yet, but, you know, we're really kind of like decategorizing and structuring. And so, when people are getting into these new, more like fluid spaces, it can be kind of confusing when we're talking about the divine masculine, like this kind of one or the other, this divine masculine or this divine feminine. So can you talk a little bit about like what the archetypes mean and how this is kind of different than how we gender ourselves?
Okay. This is a little bit more fuzzy for me, or a little more difficult, because I'm not understanding so much the distinctions of the they, their, her, hers, all of those categories.
Yeah.
And how, what they all distinctly mean and how people are representing themselves in that. So basically, you know, these are kind of little personality. Well, let me just break it down more simply. Let's say you have two men that are together in partnership, and one of the men are, they're way in their feminine energy. They're more creative. They're more in their flow. They are open to receive. They, they've got more trust. All right. And the other one might be the one that, you know, is more aligned perhaps in business or, I'm talking more of the divine traits, not the trigger things. The one that, you know, really holds that foundation, it holds the energy, holds the container, or, is, you know, loyalty. Loyalty is another masculine trait, divine masculine trait. And safety, providing safety. So that's how that would work out, let's say, in a same-sex thing. I'm not sure how to answer it in those, all the other components that are, like you're saying, more fluid now of the identifications that people are classifying themselves.
Yeah.
Basically, these are just, I think, basic human qualities, just as a human, and the behaviors, you know, that we have, or the attributes, or how we're showing up in life, how we're showing up in the relationship, how we're showing up in business and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's almost kind of like, you know, the image of like, it's like the cup and the water. It's like maybe even the divine masculine and the divine feminine are going to, like, you know, maybe those are eventually going to fall away too, you know, where we're just identifying as like human or like a different alien race or something like that. But like, it's almost just like, okay, are you the cup or are you the water? You know, it's like we're all our own cup and water, but like, you know, are you more of a cup or are you more? I don't know. I'm just kind of brainstorming.
I love that analogy. I mean, I instantly went, oh my God, what a perfect example. You know, the solidity of the cup and the fluidity of the water. I mean, that is just a beautiful explanation that's so tangible. And yes, that could just completely fall away. And there isn't any, you know, people can adopt that there is no category that. Now, here's something though interesting I want to bring up. So as far as sexual polarity goes, though, if you have two...
And when you talk about sexual polarity, you're talking about the, like, that sexy, our sexy dynamics.
Yes, the attraction, the chemical thing that creates that
magnetism, yeah.
Magnetism. Now, in order to have that, usually one or the other would be in their masculine energy, one would be in the feminine energy. That's how you get sexual polarity. If you've got two that are both in the masculine or two both in the feminine, you're going to get best friends. Something diminishes. There's an energetic diminishing when we're specifically talking about the sexual chemistry. Now, you know, it can be cozy and comfortable and cuddly and you can have that, but that whole sexual dynamic. And the other thing is we're not completely set in that. Like you can have a couple, you know, one is more in their masculine, one's more in their feminine, but it's always interweaving and it can always shift. So if let's say both of the people, whether heterosexual or homosexual or whatever it is in relationship, let's say they both work or they both have a business, coming home and you're both talking about business, where do you think that energy? That energy is not going to jive because we have yin and yang. Okay. There's always that dynamic. We have night and day. The world sort of revolves around the opposites. So the opposites create, I don't call them opposites, I say complementary. Okay. In fact, sometimes I'll say divine complements. People could be, my husband and I were divine complements to each other. I can be in my masculine energy when I'm running my business at times, and he can be, and he's a very masculine, energetic guy, but he's a tarot reader. He's an esoteric guy. He gets into quantum. So he can flow into that weave really nicely.
Very cool. I didn't know your husband did tarot. That's really cool. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Very neat. Mm-hmm. And so there's this kind of like, you know, when you're kind of having this like, this healthy sexual polarity, you know, this kind of nice push and pull between the divine masculine, the divine feminine, or however we want to kind of like use a framework of these terms. What is a healthy dynamic going to look like? I feel like everybody knows what an unhealthy dynamic looks like because we've all been in failed relationships. I don't like to call them failed relationships, but relationships that, you know, we evolved out of, let's call it.
Imbalanced.
Sure.
Imbalanced,
so we all know what an imbalanced relationship feels like, you know, where our shadow stuff comes out. And yeah. So what are some examples of healthy dynamics? You kind of just mentioned one between you and your partner. What are some ways that can be like that healthy polarity?
So if I use this in words, in terms, there is an honoring, there's a spaciousness, there's allowing, there is organization, or there's guidance at times. There's a respect. Respect is a masculine trait. Cherish, when a divine masculine cherishes the divine feminine parts. Loyalty, you're loyal to, you know, loyalty in a business, loyalty in relationship. So you can take any one of those, excuse me, you know, of those aspects and see how it weaves and integrates together in the dynamic of the relationship. So when we have clarity about how we're behaving, or the way that I like to say this, are you more of who you are in the presence of another? Or do you feel diminished?
Okay. So like, am I more of myself with my other person, or am I less than what I normally am?
Yes. That's so that would be a healthy dynamic, a healthy integration into that.
So as I'm kind of thinking about these, when we're kind of starting to look at our own shadow feminine and shadow masculine, do we need to heal through relationship to heal these aspects, or do we have to, can we heal them as individuals and then kind of like emerge like a beautiful butterfly, or do we really need to like have a partner, a partnership that we can work through this stuff? I mean, because sometimes you need partnerships to heal things around partnerships. I don't know.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So here's an interesting thing. When we follow the path of behavioral imprints from what we learn the first 5 years of our life. Oh, actually, I'm going to say take it when you're in the womb, because you're getting the energetics of your parents when you are in as a fetus. It already starts from there, the patterns. And so oftentimes in relationships, let's say, unconsciously, we're going to attract, the feminine is attracting the masculine energy. They're going to perhaps, if we've got those wounds in there, I call it the mother wound, the father wound. When we have the mother or father wound, we are going to attract unconsciously the wounded father figure in your relationship. That is an opportunity for healing. It's a big opportunity, because that person is reflecting or mirroring back to you what is not yet healed. Okay. So when we get the mother wound, the father wound, we do the healing work on that, we are not going to attract the one that might be abusive, or the one where we didn't get heard or seen, or we feel invisible. That's what starts to happen. The healthy relationships start to show up. And so what I oftentimes say, and I know you know that I say this, how is your world outside of you? How are you either responding or reacting to your world, to others? And how is everyone else outside of you reacting or responding to you? Reacting is the trigger. If you're getting these triggers, that's an opportunity. If we take it as an opportunity for healing, right? If there's that reaction there. And that reaction is not coming from your divine self, your sacred divine self. No, it's coming from the inner kid, right? You know, we have a home in our temple of our bodies, and all these rooms. And in those rooms live all the ages of our younger self. And when we get triggered, or we go into the shadow, that's who's getting triggered. That's why it's really cool to name these parts, name these archetypes. Okay. Nancy neediness, right? Victor victim.
Yeah. I would call mine single forever Caroline. No, that's not true. I prefer being single because I have a terrible dating radar. I always attract all my stuff. I mean, like you were talking about, like, you know, when we get into these relationships, it's going to bring up all of our stuff. So I don't tend to get into like super great relationships. I tend to give all my stuff to other people and all my right. love to another person, and then I forget about myself when I'm in relationships. And so it's easier for me to be single than it is to be in a relationship in a lot of ways. So how would I go about, you know, as I'm dating, like how would I go about healing some of these kind of like safety by myself issues while I'm in partnership, while I'm looking for partnership?
Well, safety has a lot to do with the trust, right? And yeah. And if we had some issues of boundaries that were violated, then that's compacted away. It's stored away in the cells and tissues of your body, especially our sexual organs, right? So there's other work that we can do that's very different than that sacred sexual healing, and that's another place that I do go to. So you know, that comes back, that safety and trust, they're a little synonymous. So, yeah. Yes, and it's a development that we've got to have when we don't. Do you trust the world? Do you trust? You know, when you go out there, intuition is part of all that. We have to have healthy discernment, and if we really tap into our intuition, intuition is what? Is it masculine or feminine?
I would say feminine, but I mean,
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
it's feminine. Here again, whether not gender specific, So
interesting. All right. So that'll be my next focus is working on trust and, you know, examining some of those boundaries that were violated back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious. I'm always nosy, but how did you start kind of studying this? Like when did this kind of frameworks and these archetypes really start coming into your consciousness? Like what kind of precipitated this work for you?
I am so eclectic and, you know, just looking at all angles of the human. And, you know, I want to discover getting, you know, my whole thing is getting to the root cause core of everything that happens. And I really got into it. What prompted this was doing the sacred sexuality work and having an understand about what the sacred feminine is about. And then we, of course, you have to understand what the sacred divine is about. So that was probably about 20 some years ago when I was doing the sacred sexuality work for couples. Again, really started to get into understanding the distinctions of those archetypes.
Yeah.
And then formulating, as I do from all the teachings that I get, formulating my own system and my own processes.
Yeah. And how has that been transformative for you to really explore the divine masculine and the divine feminine? Like how did that kind of what does that look like in your personal life? Whatever you feel comfortable sharing. I'm very nosy, but tell me a little bit about how that transformed for you.
So when I get to a place in my business where I am in the overdue, and, you know, I start to do too much, I can feel the effects of it. I know I'm in my shadow masculine. When I take time to do my meditations and I'm in stillness and I am slowing down, then I'm in the sacred. I'm in the more in more of my divine space, then I have more spaciousness to be able to organize my life in a more fluid way that isn't so constrictive, which is, of course, the masculine, right? The shadow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really comes out for your kind of supporting your in your business and your kind of professional growth in a lot of ways.
Or if I'm going to be on a roll, you know, with my husband and I am so locked into my business, that's going to have effect on my feminine energy with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so I have an understanding, and you know, like, oh, who's showing up right now? It's my masculine energy showing up. Well, who do I want to be present? So in that moment, I have a choice. We always have a choice when we have that awareness. So because when we're in it, we feel like we have nowhere else to go. And when we know that we can understand those distinctions, then that's where we have more choice in life. And then we choose, oh, that's who's operating in me right now.
Yeah.
I need to look at that distance, have a little observation, a little space out here in front of me, because we get so locked into our monkey mind. Well, I call it the puppy mind that needs to be trained for those random thousands and thousands of thoughts that overtake.
Yeah, the puppy mind can't be peeing on everything. It has to understand commands sometimes too.
Yes, it has to be trained.
Absolutely.
The mind goes crazy. The mind is what's in control. We can control that mind.
Yeah.
We can control what choices we think to think.
Yeah.
Thoughts we have.
And so I know you have an upcoming workshop on this, that's a larger workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what your kind of teaching objectives are within that course? And what you had kind of hope people to walk away with from this course? And yeah, just tell us a little bit about that.
In the webinar, the Masculine Feminine webinar course, is that what you mean? Yeah. So it's got 5 modules. There's all of the distinctions that are laid out. It goes through the shadow, through the divine of both. And then after each one of those, there is a process. There's a process, a type of meditation to help you to integrate it. So it's visceral. So it's tangible. And when we do that in a space that's like meditating, we can actually switch the neurotransmitters in the brain to really integrate it, so it goes down. It's an embodiment process. We can intellectualize ourselves and learn things, but it stays up here in the head. And these days, we've got to embody. It's got to come down so that we feel it. Get the feeling tone in there.
Yeah, yes. We got to get the divine feminine on a societal level, on a global level, is kind of swinging back. So. Yeah, gotta let the body kind of show us the way rather than the mind.
Right. I mean, we need both, right? They're for that integration thing. But yes, that's how the shift happens. That's how the changes take place.
Yeah, absolutely. And so can you give us like a simple practice example for if we needed to integrate our divine masculine or integrate our divine feminine? Can you give us like a very, you know, just like a little teaser of what people can do at home to kind of explore and really embody these concepts? We're kind of coming towards the top of the hour. So something simple.
So for people that don't have a lot of direction, you know, maybe get a little bit too spacey, by having an action plan, sitting down and being organized and setting a strategy or a goal and, you know, writing it down, doing the timing, setting a calendar, saying, okay, I'm going to sit down and schedule myself to work on what I need to work on for this particular system, or if it's business or planning a trip or whatever it is focus, right? When your intention, where intention goes, energy flows. So if you're so in your head and you're so busy and you're so calculating, then we want to be able to do more meditation or be in, you know, in nature or do earthing, right? Barefoot on the grass, get your feet, get rooted, get grounded, get out of the head, bring the energy down, take a bath, a bath with salt, especially sea salt, because that we are in a world today where we are completely bombarded. Our energetic field our mental field and what's going on out there with the chaos and the fear. And if you're an empath, as we know, for the empaths, they're getting everything. And so taking a bath, water is a catalyst to help to soothe the sympathetic nervous system because it's in balance. We want to get back into parasympathetic. Sympathetic goes into overdrive, goes into anxiety, goes into fear. Yeah. So using aromatherapy, those are fabulous tools to assist, right?
Fabulous. Just quick tips, just little things that we can do. That's fabulous. And so Sunshine, how can people find you if they're curious and kind of want to learn a little bit more about who you are and what you do? What's the easiest way that people can get in touch?
So that you, my website is whatisiridology.com, and iridology is iridology. whatisiridology.com.
Perfect. And do you have any last words of wisdom that you would like to throw into the universe?
So what we have to realize, because we're such a seeking society, realize that wherever you're at, you have perfection. You came into the world with innocence and perfection, and it's weaving back into that place that where that's what you really are, and understanding that you're perfect where you're at.
I love
that. Use that as a platform.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're perfect where you're at. That's hard. That's harder than it sounds.
I know it is. But if we can use that as a mantra, I am perfect how I am.
Perfect how I am. Even when I make mistakes, I'm perfect how I am.
Just going to let all of it be there.
Yeah.
Have acceptance and allowing for it all.
Yes. Oh, that's good. That's so good. Well, thank you, Sunshine. It always chatting with you always just goes by. It's like an hour is the blink of an eye.
It is. I love it. I love being with you, Caroline. Aww. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And if people are just tuning in right now, you're listening to Energy Matters. We've been chatting with Sunshine Beeson. And if you want to catch the full episode where we talk more about the divine and the shadow of these masculine and the feminine, you can always go on to the show is posted on ReikiNorthampton.com about a week later. Or if you're a podcast listener, you can find the Energy Matters podcast. Episodes are always posted on the following Friday. And it's the little Starburst logo because there is another Energy Matters podcast out there. So make sure you look for the Starburst logo anywhere you download your favorite podcasts. So have a great weekend, everyone, and be well.